interesting series to me. A lot of it is kind of repetitive because the answer always comes back to the same thing. The problems are different. The way you look at the problem is different. The way it affects our lives is different, but it always comes back with the same answer. And Paul said it, that he doesn't want to know anything except Christ crucified. Doesn't care about anything else, doesn't want to know about anything else. All he cares about, all he wants you to see in his life is Christ crucified. That's all he, that was his answer for everything, and that is the answer for everything. Today, the subject or the focus is on what do you do when you have broken relationships. We all know about broken relationships. We see it every day. People decide to go their separate ways in a marriage. You have a good friend that all of a sudden decides for one reason or another, I'm just tired of you, go away. You might have a child or a daughter, son, a father, mother, uncle, or whoever it might be that just says, don't call me anymore. You're not part of my family anymore. That happens. Happens all the time. And you know it happens all the time. And you know why that happens? Because we are all flawed human beings. We haven't got it together. We don't know how to make things work. We might try. We might think, I know how this works. I know how to raise my daughter. Don't go telling me. I know how, a friend of mine, don't, we think we do. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Go ahead and think you know what you're doing. And it won't be very long for somebody has to show you. No, you don't. And that fall sometimes gets very, very drastic. Now, there's a university that did a study on how long friendships last. I don't know who has the money to make a study like that, universities. How long do friendships last? The end of their result came down to that the shelf life of a friendship is no longer than 10 years. That if you make it 7 years, you're way beyond what most people actually have. Now, in 7 years, 7 or 10 years, they say you'll have the same number of friends. They'll just be different friends. Now, I don't know how accurate all that is, but I know it's real. I don't know just the numbers, but think back even 5 years. How many people do you hang around with or are you close friends with that you were close friends with 5 years ago? You still know them. They're still casual friends. But those people that were your prayer warriors together, where are they 10 years ago, from 10 years from now? They're just different. And I'm not sure why that is exactly. I have a suspicion it goes back all the way to the Tower of Babel, where God doesn't want us to rely on Don to be my pillar and my support. God wants to be my pillar and support. So if I rely too much on Don, God has to do something. He has to make him mean and nasty, and so we don't like each other anymore. But I can see that happening. Yeah, with Don, sure. At some point in our lives, we're going to have to deal with a broken relationship. It's going to happen. We don't want to think about it, but sometimes they're painful, difficult to deal with. And sometimes they have obvious sources. There's dishonesty, there's unfaithfulness, cheating, and we could go on all that morning with the list of that, what could be a real issue. And that, but sometimes it just seems there's no obvious reason. We're just not anymore. We've grown apart somehow. You know, we often hear of someone who doesn't want to come to church because of something someone else did, said, went, did, whatever. That happens all the time, too. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, 20. We're not going to read the whole section of it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, up through verse 20. This portion of Scripture has a real deep look at two very close relationships. One went north and one went south. That's 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's pray before we begin reading there. Father, we thank you for your love and goodness toward us. Thank you for the great mercy you show us. Thank you for allowing us to look into your word. Thank you for giving it to us. Pray that you give us something. Help pastor as he teaches and preaches later on. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 17, we're not going to read very much of this, but we're just going to point out a verse here and there. Chapter 17 tells of the Philistines challenging the nation of Israel. David takes up the challenge in the name of the Lord, and he wins the victory over Goliath. Everybody knows that story. Everybody's heard about it. Now, if you go to the first verse of chapter 18, we're going to read that verse there. That's kind of important. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan and David became what I would call really best friends somewhere in all that. Jonathan was a hero in his own right at that time, having led the army into battle and had some success with that. He was the king's son. He was well-liked throughout the whole kingdom. And Jonathan and David was a nobody. Really, he really was a nobody. It was a shepherd boy from not even from an important tribe in the kingdom at that time. The youngest son, so he had absolutely no claim on anything. And him and the king's son, which was well known, became best friends. Now, how does that work? I don't know how that works. If you think about what we know of kingdoms, how often is it that you hear that some lowly American bride just married the prince of wherever? It happens, doesn't it? Happens now and then, and people are constantly, how can that be? That she doesn't belong there. What's he doing even looking at her? That has to be the same kind of thing there. This is a time period when kings went over to other kingdoms and found, there is someone I would like you to marry because that will give us all more power. No, Jonathan went and befriended David. David befriended Jonathan. They became best friends and didn't make a big show of it. They were just friends. They liked each other. They wanted to do what the other, they wanted to serve God. Jonathan was a godly man. David was a godly man. That friendship lasted their entire lives. Now, if we go to chapter 18, verse 10, we read that Saul attempted to kill David. Now, this is Saul, Jonathan's father. Down to chapter 18, verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. I don't understand the evil spirit from God. And neither does anybody else. The scripture does not explain that. Through chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, there's an evil spirit that came upon Saul from the Lord. And I don't understand it. There's some commentators that say, well, this is what it is. Well, the Bible doesn't say, so that's the commentator. Well, I think that maybe we'll just add this in there. Be careful when you're reading commentaries. Just because it's written down in a book or even in the margin of your Bible doesn't make it so. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says simply that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Now, what happened between the slaying of Goliath, David being really a hero, and then all of a sudden Saul wants to kill him? That just doesn't really make sense, does it? What happened in between was that Saul began to be jealous over David. Now, what did Saul have to be jealous over? Now, think about it. He's the king. And this lowly shepherd is now challenging his kingdom. How insecure is that? Now, that is the same issue, and this is not this topic. When we have to deal with insecurity, there's a whole other lesson on insecurity. I don't know if we're going to get to it. We have to deal with insecurity. I'm about the most insecure person I know. Just say something nasty to me, and I'll just be in the gutter for a week. That's true, right? And why is that? I know that I'm born again. I know who has control of all of this. I know God put me here. There's no question in my mind that God put me here. But go ahead and come up afterwards and question something I said. And why is that? Because I'm human. Why did Saul end up? He's human. And he never looked to the Lord for anything. The king of Israel. Now, we think of Israel back then. This is the seat of everything righteous. If there was anything good going on, where would it be happening? In Israel. If there was any righteousness, where would it be? In Israel. And this was the leader of Israel. People begged for a king, and they got one. If you say something that you don't have, just say, God, if you want me to have that, that'd be great. And if not, that's fine too. But, you know, if you ask over and over and over again, God might just say, sure, go ahead. Go ahead, do it. And what did Israel get? A corrupt king that led them in a wrong direction that tried to kill David. And there's a whole lot of other things that we could talk about, Saul, but that would take weeks. You might just end up with something that you're going to not want. Do you suppose Saul planned on all this happening in his life? Now, when he stood up and first got to be king, I don't know what his attitude was, but why did he get to be king? Who chose him as king? It was anointed king, wasn't he? God said, okay, you want a king? Here he is. You can have him. And what they ended up with, what the nation of Israel ended up with, was a king that was so insecure that one day, right after David went into battle, David came back from battle, and the women were singing, you know how girls sing, silly songs. Some, you know, younger girls would sing silly songs. Even older girls would sing silly songs. Guys never sing silly songs. We sing serious things. Yeah, right. But the women were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. Because right at that point in the kingdom, David just came back a hero again. Saul heard that, and what happened? He said, he's not taking my kingdom away from me. That's really what he said. This is my kingdom. You can't have it, and you can't make any effort to take it. I'm going to throw a javelin through you. And not only did he do it once, he went and tried it again, and he missed the second time. Saul, the king, the leader of the army, threw a javelin and missed in a room. Now, is that going to happen? Probably not. Twice? Probably not. And that's not the end of it. We'll get back to that in just a minute. In the first part of chapter 19, this is pretty important on relationships. Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father. And he said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. Down in that as a friend undertaking, just, my friend has a problem, and I'm going to see, do what I can do to take care of it. I'm not going to let this just go. Now, this again. Now, who would be, if Saul were to not be king, who would be king next? Jonathan. Except David was in the way. What a difference between the spirit of Saul and the different of the spirit of Jonathan. Jonathan and David, Jonathan and Saul. Huge difference in their relationship. The relationship with Saul offered Jonathan really unlimited power, unlimited glory. He could be the one that the girls were singing about in a very short time. He could be the one that would inherit all of this. And yet Jonathan said, my friend needs help. I'm going to go help him. I'm going to stand up to the king. Now, if you can imagine somebody with a temper like Saul, you're going to stand up and say, don't do that. That would work real well. I don't know how long you'd stand, but, you know. But Saul promised, okay, I won't kill him. I don't think he meant it there. I don't know if he did or not right then. But a short time after, he tried to kill him again. But Jonathan stood up and wanted to be the best friend to Saul, or to David, he could. Now, David's and Saul's relationship started out great. If you think the nation of Israel was at battle with the Philistines, they were losing. It was clearly obvious from a man's point of view, we are going to lose. There's this giant up there that has challenged us, and we have nobody that will even begin to challenge him or to fight against him. Now, who would? Really, who would? I mean, who wants to arm wrestle Wesley? Anybody? Probably not. Wesley's shaking his hand. I don't want to hurt my arm. Now, you think of somebody, Wesley's strength, but 10 foot tall, could be 9, 10 foot tall. And I'm going to go fight him. That's the person. Israel was in trouble. David shows up, really saves the honor of Israel. And what did David do? It's really important that we understand what David did. He walked up to that giant, and we're gonna have to go back to, I think, chapter 16, is it? I had it written down, but that was on a previous edition of my notes. It's near the end of the verse, or the end of the chapter. Verse 6, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts. And down verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistines rose and came and drew nigh to David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. What was the deal that Goliath offered? Goliath said, if you beat me, our army will just surrender to you. And if I beat your representative, then your army has to surrender to us. What did David do? He stood up and said, I'm going to beat you in the name of the Lord God. I'm not coming in my own strength. Well, if we have a problem with any relationship, we can't go in our own strength. Our problems are always bigger than we are. Always. Our problems are there for a reason, to show us there's no way you can handle this. There's no way you're going to overcome this. And if I have to, the Lord says, I'll show you that you're not strong. You don't can't drive fast enough. Whatever it is I have to show you, I will show you that you can't handle it. Go ahead and try if you want to. Saul's solution was, here, I will give you my armor and I will give you my spear. And I will prepare you the best I can. And what would have happened should David have, you know, trying to drive the armor? David would have been just defeated. David said, I can't go in that. All I can do is go in the power of God. And I can tell you that as tall as you are, Goliath, it doesn't make any difference, because I am going to show you, all of your army, and everyone that's watching, that there is a God in Israel that can overcome my problem. Well, if we have a problem, whether it's a broken relationship or whatever the problem might be, that's the answer. If you go to God and say, God, I have this problem, I can't do it. David went to God before he said this out loud. He went to God and said, okay, God, that I don't know what his words were, but I am going to battle for you. I'm going to do this for you. And if I'm going to succeed, it's because you did it, not because I'm that strong. I'm just this little ruddy, probably 5'5", 110-pound boy that doesn't know how to fight, doesn't have weapons of war. All I have is this sling, which I use to chase bobcats away. If you want to use me, great. All we have is just our little knowledge, our little ability, maybe a little bit of friendship, maybe a little bit of money, maybe whatever it is we have. That's all we have. If we go to God with that, just as David did, said, I've got a problem. God, if anything good comes out of this, it's going to be because you did it. Don't you really enjoy when you know that God did something in your life? Here you are in a situation, and all you can say is, don't know, there's nothing I can do about it. We ask the Lord to take care of it, and he does. Isn't that a thrill? I mean, there just isn't anything like it, to know that the one that created, that spoke and light came to being, actually did something for you. Just, that's hard to comprehend. Of all the, how many people are there in the 4-5 billion? I don't know. I lost count of 200, you know. just trying to comprehend there being that many people. And God took time to take care of this for me. He takes time to take care of each and every problem that's presented before him. Last verse, the eyes of the Lord go forth throughout the whole world, doing what? Seeking to show himself powerful. That's what he does. He wants to show himself powerful. A broken relationship is not the end of the world. Now, if that's all you have, it is the end. If you're relying on that, then that is the end. Saul saw a challenge, if not even a real challenge, from David. David thinking David's trying to take over my throne. A real challenge. Was David going to take over his throne? And we can follow the verses, the chapters and verses after this, and find out there's no way David was going to take over his throne. As a matter of fact, he was so strong in this that the person who actually did kill Saul, he had executed. So how dare you kill, how dare you put your hand on the anointed of Israel? You can't do that. That's God anointed him, and you killed him? That's how strong David felt. David had opportunity to get revenge. Didn't, I can't do that. David's advisors told him, you ought to do it. You ought to, you've got opportunity. Take him out. And I can imagine David just kind of, you got to be kidding. That's the kind of attitude it appears he had. We can't do that. I don't know what we're going to do, but we sure can't do that. Now, he could have. He could have taken things on his own, said, okay, I know I've been anointed king. This guy has been trying to kill me. At least three times he's tried to kill me. And now he's got a death posse. Anybody that wants to find me should kill me. I have opportunity to take him out, and I'm not going to do it. I don't know that I have that. Somebody's out hunting me, and I have an opportunity to stop them, I probably am going to. I noticed throughout, and I looked just to find, I could not find one place all the way from the anointing of Saul all the way up till his death where he gave God any glory at all. He mentioned, God did this for us. Not once. Now, I don't know if he did or not. Maybe I missed something. Maybe there's something not recorded here, but I don't see it. His attitude was, I'm going to do what I want to do, and you're not going to stop me. Now, if he had that attitude toward David, he also had that attitude toward God. Now, that's more scary than most anything else. Imagine that same creator that spoke and light came into being and is able to take care of every little issue we have and will not ignore, but will, aside from the other 4 million or 4 billion people, pick you out and take care of that problem. You're going to stand and say, nope, I'm not going to do it. I want things my way. I'm going to do it my way. And if you're a child of God, he has to say, no, you aren't either. He has to say that. Because what is his whole purpose in dealing with us? Is to make us into the image of his son. And allowing you to be God unto yourself, is that on the path toward making you in the image of his son? Not at all. Is standing up and saying, God, you're not going to rule my life. After he gave his son to pay for our sins, took care of everything, and we're going to say, nope, not doing it. God has to say, yes, you are. And that's how we're going to do it. We're going to arrange for you to want to do it. Get down into where we live. Causes for broken relationships. Probably the biggest thing that happens in between two people is one takes a path closer to God, the other doesn't. Not that he's becoming more evil, more whatever it is, but he just isn't maturing. Does that mean that they're both, one of them or the other is wrong? No, they're just, one is here and the other is here. David spent much time meditating on the Lord. I mean, that's obvious. His memories are written in the Psalms. This is where I was, and this is what I was thinking, and this is what I did. People were saying this about me, but the Lord took care of me. I wanted to do this, but the Lord prevented me and helped me to do it this way. That's David's thinking. If you're having trouble with your thoughts, look in the Psalms. Here's a man thinking. And he had every problem there was. I mean, there isn't a problem that he didn't have. Here he was out in the middle as he was being hunted, so he had no food except what they could find. He had very little protection. He had his friendship. The only friend he had he could really trust was Jonathan. He never saw because he had to go to the kingdom to see him, and he couldn't do that. Every now and then they got together. David recognized and wanted to see and wanted to show everybody, this is what God can do. Now Saul, on the other hand, they both started out seeing this 10-foot giant, however tall he was, challenge the nation of Israel. They both started out right there. Same opportunity. Could Saul have called on God to take care of this? You could. You're a child of God. Do you have a father that has this ability? Yes, we do. Saul could have done that. Anybody else that was there that was a child of God could have done that. Now, David was specially prepared for it with a humble heart. David was specially prepared for it, just knowing, I can't do anything but take care of these few sheep. That's what my older brother said. He probably believed it. I had to stay back from the war when I wanted to go. I had to stay back to take care of the sheep. I wanted to go out and see what was going on. But no, Dad wanted me to stay home. All I'm here for is just to deliver the bread and to take news back how the battle goes. That's all I'm here for. Saul saw that giant stand there challenging him. David heard about the giant and said, what is this? Again, David was just so trusting in God, so believing that God was able to do what he would do. And not just he'd believe it. Everyone here probably believes God as he can do. He didn't just believe it. He actually stepped out and took a step toward Goliath and said, in God's name, you're not going to say that about our God. God's going to take care of you. God's going to be the one that defeats you. I'm going to be here, but God's going to take care of you. He had that same attitude over and over and over and over again. Saul had the same attitude. I'm going to be king, and you're not taking it away from me. If I have to kill you, that's fine. Saul, earlier in Saul's life, was supposed to go out into a city, destroy everybody and everything in the city because it was an evil city. Nothing good could possibly come out of the city. He brought back the king of the city. He brought back spoils from the city. And Solomon asked, what did you do? What were you supposed to do? Saul decided, well, I'm going to do it this way. God said it do it this way, but I'm going to do it this way. One thing after another, Saul just said, I know better than God. Don't bother me. I'm going to do things my way. David said, I don't have any way to do it. I'm going to let God do it his way. What do you do when you just can't get over a broken relationship? Well, the first thing, stop and say, okay, is this broken because of me or because of them? Does it make any difference? It makes no difference. Back up a step from that. Who is the person you should have that closest relationship with, that if it's ruptured or if it's broken, something's wrong? That's with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the person that you need to have that relationship, which is so, so important to you, that anything that breaks that relationship, you get dealt with right away. You know right away. You understand that he is able to take care of this. When you see, when you have a relationship that is seeming to fall apart, first recognize, am I right with you? If not, David said, search my heart. Look in my heart. Is there something in here that shouldn't be here? Is there something I need to get straightened out? Well, if there is, help me get it straightened out right now. If you go to God and say, God, I need to have a clean heart because there's a problem here. I don't know what the problem is. I don't have the ability to take it. Who can change Don's mind? Not me. Who can change Wesley's mind? Janet raises her hand. That's dangerous. But we all got to put up with you. So. If there's a problem in a relationship, go to God. What is it? What can I do to fix this? Sometimes you're not going to fix it. Sometimes things have just fallen apart, and we don't really know why. I'm going to close with a story from the New Testament, and you probably know about this story. Paul and Barnabas. You ever heard of Paul and Barnabas? You probably know the story well. Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, really the first missionaries sent out. If you can imagine the church's first two missionaries sent out on their missionary journey, they come back and have wonderful news of all these things that they did. And about 6 months later, they said, the church said, maybe you should go out on another missionary journey. I don't know how that decision all came about, but they were making plans. On the first missionary journey, there was a young man named John Mark. John Mark, for whatever reason, quit school. He said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going home. I don't know. Maybe he was sick. Maybe he missed mom. I don't know. Maybe he didn't like the food. And if you come up with a real reason, you're just imagining it, because the Word of God doesn't tell us why. Pick one. Pick any reason you want. They were heading out on their second missionary journey, and Barnabas said, I'd like to take John Mark with us. Paul said, no. He quit us last time. He's just going to quit us again. And Paul and Barnabas just started bickering. The people that was the first two missionaries started bickering with each other over John Mark, whether he could come with them on a missionary journey, which... Would it affected the missionary journey if he made it halfway through and left? If he did that again, the first one worked out pretty well. Why wouldn't the second one? These two men could not get over it. Couldn't get past it. Paul went one way. Barnabas went the other way. And the Word of God, again, doesn't specifically say, but I think John Mark went with Barnabas. Maybe he did. Barnabas took the time to lay down verse after verse, line after line, precept after precept, here a little and there a little, and eventually John Mark became profitable as a preacher. I'm half thinking that that is something like the spirit of evil that came upon Saul, because now there was two missionary journeys being made, or there only would have been one. Paul and Barnabas were good friends. I mean, really good friends. Paul went one way, Barnabas went another. They reached twice as many people because John Mark separated. They were separated by a disagreement over John Mark. You don't have to know why there's an issue here. You don't have to know why that person is all of a sudden not what they used to be. Did God know all about this? He did. Did he take care of John Mark? He sure did. Did he take care of Paul? Was Paul still effective in his ministry? He was. Was Barnabas still effective in his ministry? He was. Is there any obvious thing in any three of those that they stood up against God and said, God, I'm not doing it? I don't see any of it. I would like to think that Paul and Barnabas just thought, you know, we don't agree, but I think you ought to take John Mark and just go and go to this city and this city and this city, and I'm going to take whoever I want to with me, and I'm going to go to this city and this city and this city. That would be the thing to do. Don't know if that actually happened or not. Don't like speculating things, but it could have happened that way. Something happened that just before the end of Paul's life, he said, bring John Mark to me because he's profitable to me for the ministry. Don't know what happened, but something happened. And twice as many people were reached over a little argument over John Mark. John Mark got to have some teaching that he probably never would have received. Got some personal attention. Because what's Barnabas going to do now? I mean, his best friend is now off in the other direction. I'm going in this direction. I don't really have anybody to talk to. I spent all my time before talking to... Maybe this all happened because the Lord wanted someone to teach John Mark. We don't know why relationships break up. We don't have to know. All we have to know is, Lord, you can take care of this. You take care of this, and however it ends up, I'm good with. When David was walking toward that giant, do you suppose he was positive sure that he was not going to be the one killed? He was just human. I mean, all he knew is that if that giant's going down, God's going to have to take him down. Rely on the Lord to take care of this issue as well as every other issue. A broken relationship's not the end of the world. Maybe it's not going to be fixed, but the relationship with God, it will overcome it. If you have a good relationship, a solid relationship, a relationship with the Lord Jesus, that you can go to him and say, there's a giant there that needs to go down, and you can write the rest of the story however it fits in your life. You can go to God and say that. He's looking for you. The eyes of the Lord go where? Throughout the whole world, the whole earth. Is this the earth right here? Seeking to show himself powerful to who? To those that are looking for him to be powerful. Why not just do that? Okay, we'll do that. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the time we've had together. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to trust you for all these things. When there's an issue that comes up, to look to you for the answer and not try and figure it out, not try and come up with a solution, but to say, God, you know what the answer is. Let's just do that. Protect us now. Be with Pastor and keep distractions during service this morning. Give him your spirit that he would be able to bring your words. In Jesus' name, amen. We are dismissed.